art, culture, politics, activism. Now, art in the pandemic age. Have you ever wondered why artists do what they do? What is their purpose? What are they trying to accomplish? I'm your host, Kyle Roman. Welcome to Artivism Now. Artivism, defined, is a portmanteau word combining art and activism. How is it that artists push the boundary of their medium? How do they move societies forward? How do they resolve issues in their neighborhoods, both local and worldwide? These questions are what we set out to answer by interviewing artists locally and the world over. We will get answers to those questions that artists put out there in the community. On this episode of Artivism Now, we profile Grace Kress from Shelby X Studios, who aims to make the revolution irresistible. All right, we're here with Grace Kress from Shelby X Studios, all the way from the UK. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, wonderful. And where exactly in the UK, if you can be specific? I'm not sure. It doesn't matter if you can't give us
specifics. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm based in London at the moment.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and Shelby X Studios is a group who communicates messages of social justice. And so we're going to get into the whole nature, the grand vision. You know, what is that mission? What is it that drives Shelby X Studios and yourself, Grace, with this project?
Yeah, so big question to start with. I like it. I suppose it's something that I'm still learning how to communicate in its entirety, but I guess a synopsis would be that Shelby X Studios is kind of about merging art and activism. And it's about finding shared language and analysis, I think, to kind of as a route for collective action. And I guess the goal is to develop a bit of a counterculture, really, and to challenge mainstream narratives, and particularly thinking about things like valuing creativity and building communities based on care, and a huge focus on providing accessible resources for people to learn about social justice topics. Yeah.
And I love the fact that, you know, it's not even a fully established vision in your own mind, and yet you rattled off so many different amazing points. it shows what it shows to me is that this is something that, you know, like most you know, social justice movements and you know, all things considered in that realm, that it's something that comes from the heart, you know, and it's not you know, something that you can necessarily quantify or write down all the time. Sometimes it's just spoken best from the heart. And I think that's definitely what I can sense about the mission and vision of Shelby X Studios. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're very welcome. That's really good to hear. And I think it's true, really, in a sense that, you know, just as a lot of the social movements are evolving all the time, so is the kind of work that I'm wanting to platform. And yeah, I think it is changing a lot, and I suppose the core principles of it, the X in Shelby X Studios is for collaboration, so it will be kind of like Shelby X and then our guest featured artists. So yeah, collaboration is just a really core part of what Shelby X Studios is all about.
Right. And that kind of is at the forefront of your, at least your eventual, the place that you want to eventually get Shelby X Studios to. We just glanced over it pre-interview. And did you want to walk us through like what that grand, you know, that end all be all, or even just, you know, that eventual vision that you have for the product Shelby X Studios?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose the kind of concept around Shelby X Studios was born out of sort of personal struggles of being an activist and experiencing a lot of burnout. And also, I think, you know, a bit what we talked about, like you said, around how we can engage with political information and kind of connect with other people that are doing similar things to us. And that's kind of the vision for this, really, is to build a community of creative people that are interested in using their skills for social justice purposes. And I suppose the kind of end goal, I'll be launching a new online platform in January 2021, and it will be a membership. Essentially, people can sign up to the membership and they'll get access to a monthly zine that will be kind of exploring different topics each month and having artists create, I guess, uplifting artwork, but also educational resources to help us not only just understand about particular issues, but how to engage with them and practically participate and get active. So I suppose that's a huge part of it, is not only platforming the artists that I want to get involved, but also thinking about how everyday people that, you know, care about what's happening can become active in those movements.
Yeah, it's a fascinating time. You know, if we can exercise an ounce of privilege and look at something objectively about what's happening now in the world, what's happening now, you know, myself speaking as a citizen of the United States, you in the UK, and you know, what are the types of issues that are really steering the artwork at this moment in Europe?
Yeah, I suppose probably a lot of similarities between what is happening in the US, to be honest. I think you're right in terms of recognizing that we are essentially living in the belly of the beast, as it were. Right. And, you know, a lot of the work that I'm engaged with politically and creatively is about challenging capitalism, challenging imperialism, and that means taking an approach that factors in, I guess, local struggles. You know, I do a lot of work around housing rights and housing conditions, kind of like the, you know, countering the criminalization of young people, a lot of migrant and refugee support work. And I think that you know, again, what this project is about is trying to bring all these different issues and strands together to paint a bigger picture of what's actually happening, and to try and acknowledge the root causes of these, you know, what results in oppression for multiple layers of society. So I think, you know, in the UK, we're very much faced with a lot of the similar struggles that you probably are in the US too. And what's been, I guess, you know, a bit of a silver lining in terms of people being at home during lockdown and as a result of COVID-19, I guess it has freed up some time for some people, not everybody, of course, but for some people to participate and actively get engaged. You know, there's been a lot more sharing of information, and I think people are becoming more aware of what's happening and probably our role within that too.
It really is a fertile time for not only art, public art, but also messaging, political messaging through art, social media, and public art as well, which, you know, at this point, you know, in lockdown or quarantine, whatever you want to call it, honestly, art through social media can act as public art because people are using a lot more virtual roadways, so to speak, than we are our traditional ones. And so maybe if you can for a bit, you know, talk about how social media is really steering the artwork of Shelby X Studios and the platform, etc.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's really interesting actually that you've brought that up, because another huge kind of catalyst for this project was I've been experiencing chronic pain for probably the last sort of 18 months or so. And during that time, that's okay, thank you. During that time, it's made me very aware. You know, I probably already was aware of these issues, but more so, and obviously now through lived experience, of a lot of the access barriers that people face, I think, to getting engaged and being able to participate in, I guess, typical activist settings. And obviously, the kind of digital age has played a huge role in, you know, addressing some of those barriers. But then I suppose in terms of digital poverty, maybe highlighting some of the inequalities within that realm as well. And yeah, I've got plans. Our sort of second issue of the zine is going to be all about digital activism, and then how that relates to kind of art and creative activism within the public sphere. So yeah, I'm excited about that, and also have been working with some incredible artists that have created work about that topic specifically. And I suppose it's been a really interesting, if interesting is the right word, year for this kind of conversation to develop, I guess. And there's been a lot of positives as well as the negatives, I think. So I think you're right. It's about trying to think about how these platforms can be used to connect people. And I think, yeah, that thing you touched upon about sharing information has just been, we've seen such a growth in that, which is, yeah, a lot of the work that I'm really interested in.
Yeah, it's, and I see Instagram stories flooded with activist artwork. It's almost like the platform of Instagram and on occasion Twitter, but more so Instagram, is it's very image based, and also the platform itself in terms of the stories allow you to communicate just a whole just slew of messages in a very short amount of time. And, you know, I'm literally clicking through, you know, people who are my students' Instagram stories, and they're politically engaged with social media and artwork on social media. And so it really is, you know, the time, it really is the time for Shelby X Studios, I guess I should say, you know.
Yeah, I know, it's been interesting really, because this kind of concept originated probably a couple of years ago, and the kind of timing of it all coming into fruition has been really, really interesting actually. And it does feel needed, I suppose. And I think it's also important for us to think about how this kind of wave, I suppose, of digital activism really builds on concrete, you know, on the groundwork too, and how each of those areas can support one another, because I think they're both hugely valid, but it's about, thinking in practical terms, you know, what impact do we actually have, and how do we go from sharing information online and talking about different topics to very practically impacting in the way that we want to.
Absolutely. The another thing that I wanted to get into as well was the style part. We had talked about this a little bit pre-interview, and you know, I'd talked about, made the comparison with some of my show artwork in the first season, and in comparison to the Shelby X Studios artwork, has its own style, and it from my perspective, and if I could offer my own perspective, it communicates so well in a way that's not so in your face. And I know that's a style thing too. It doesn't mean that the message can't just, you know, hit people right here, like, you know, get them to think quickly about their own situation, their own privilege, or whatever else. Talk about your style, if you can, if we could jump into the art side, the style for your aesthetic of Shelby X Studios.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, I suppose. And I do always forget on a podcast, obviously people can't necessarily see the work. Right. And also it can be good to have descriptions, I suppose. So mm-hmm. I guess personally, a lot of my work has focused on design and illustration. And I kind of got into this world of being creative within the activist sphere very practically by creating campaign materials like banners and flyers and badges and all sorts of things that would help kind of communicate what was happening and also try and engage people in the campaign. And I guess from quite a young age, having been raised by activists, I was exposed to a lot of the artwork within that context. And something that really struck me, I became a bit obsessed with the Black Panther Party and the amazing work that they were doing, but particularly influenced by their Minister of Culture, Emery Douglas, and his ability to kind of communicate with people very directly by, having really relatable imagery that represented the communities that they were working in, kind of envisage what the world could look like, but also the very real realities that people were going through. And I remember reading his artist manifesto and being struck by one of the points that he made about art needing to be accessible to everybody, including, children, being able to understand. And so I guess that's partly influenced my style in some ways, thinking about a lot of activist material can be quite information heavy, let's say. And
that's so true. Information overload is the activists, that's what brings us down sometimes.
It can do, and I think actually it's hard because that information is really needed and important, and it's not to try and dilute that or to take away the kind of that information is very much needed. But I think I was really interested in lots of the campaigns that I had become involved in and was wanting to learn more, and was kind of finding it a bit difficult actually at times to retain information, particularly when you're involved with lots of different areas, and to kind of then communicate those experiences and that knowledge with other people, because I had some comrades that just were so knowledgeable and had this way of like really poetically communicating this, a lot of the knowledge that was needed to be communicated. And I was just thinking about how particular artists have done that in their visual practice before. I suppose people like Frida Kahlo and Sylvia Pankhurst, she's somebody from the East End of London, actually, that, you know, worked a lot in the suffrage movement, but a lot with the working class communities. And I guess, yeah, I think the way that they did things made that information really relatable to people. And yeah, I guess it's been described before. I like to use a lot of color, and I do a lot of typography, hand-lettered typography pieces. Yeah, and I guess my approach is to try and think about ways that, I think too, I was probably struggling a bit with how, you know, depressing a lot of these topics can be, yeah, and the impact that that has on the well-being of the activist community.
Yeah.
And yeah, I wanted to create things that would help uplift us and yeah, and, you know, really envisage the world that we want to see.
That is like you put it so perfectly, because that's one of the things when I look at some of the images and you know, all the messages contained, I literally want to jump into that world, you know, like I want to see what the, you know, the Shelby X Studios version of me would look like. And I want to see, you know, like that's literally a feeling I get, you know, and I think that's really cool, because it honestly takes me back to my childhood and, like, you know, some childhood shows that you'd see on TV. And sometimes you'd wonder, like, oh, I wonder, you know, how cool it would be to be in that show or a part of it, yes, or whatever. And I get that same feeling from your work, and at the same time, I'm being taught about, you know, issues of, you know, racial oppression or issues of, you know, body positivity or even, you know, ableism, you know, access to people, yeah, with disabilities. And so I think that's a really cool way that you're able to, you know, communicate on such an aesthetically pleasing level, you know, topics that are really, like you said, you know, like, depressing to a lot of people within the activist community who have these messages in their mind constantly, right? And,
yeah,
you know, yeah, it can bring you down sometimes, you know, and especially if you're someone who is an activist from within, who is affected by a specific topic, like if you are a Black person in America or in the UK or anywhere else where there is racial oppression, you know, sometimes we're being hit by those messages, it's going to take its toll on you. And I think that Shelby X Studios is doing a good job of, you know, making those messages communicate to, you know, to lead on the positive side, as opposed to, you know, utilizing things that might invoke, you know, more of what would be termed negative emotions. I don't know. Is that a goal that you have, is to always kind of, you know, be on the positive side?
I suppose, yeah, it's quite a lot around maybe what has kind of directed my creative practice, if you want to call it that, is my own form of release and expression, and probably dealing with some of those complex emotions myself and recognizing that within you know, my activist community, but also I can imagine other people's, you know, they call it the struggle, and we're fighting all the, yeah, time. And I think that narrative can sometimes, you know, take over in a sense. And a lot of the issues, you know, let's face it, we're facing very overwhelming time. And yeah, I think that I'm happy to hear that you feel like that, because that's definitely one of the goals, really, is to help people you know, I think it's kind of a bit around, evoking a sense of hope, maybe.
Yeah.
That, you know, we need to talk about the complex issues and to really get into a lot of the problems that we're facing, and, you know, allow people to communicate their experiences of oppression. But I think it's equally as important that we're trying to really visualize what these communities of care and the kind of way of living that we want to happen, to kind of imagine what that looks like, and start to create it, I guess. And I suppose also thinking about, you know, in terms of my own privileges, and how I can use Shell BX Studios as a way of collaborating with other artists that have lived experiences of other forms of oppression, and really making sure that those voices are not only just amplified, but, you know, really take front and center, center stage. Yeah.
Right. It's an exercise, you know, in bringing back the, you know, the be the change, right? That stunning statement, be the change you wish to see in the world, is, you know, what a lot of us struggle with. And I feel like your work is, you know, hits right where that was supposed to, because it really is kind of trying to dream the world we want to see through imagery. And of course, a world with peace would have beautiful colors. I mean, that's just, it has to, right? You know, we don't want the, you know, the gray palette world of, you know, institutionalization. You know, we want color in our lives and we want beauty in our lives. And I think that's definitely something that I can pick up by looking at your work. And I know that the website has a bunch of good information. However, where the website is going to be launched on a different timeline, right?
Yeah, pretty soon. It's definitely coming very soon. Yeah, so people can definitely engage through Instagram and through the website that exists at the moment. But there's a lot to come and a lot that we're building on. So I'm excited to share.
Absolutely. And the Instagram is Shell BX Studios. And then you also have the other social media outlets, Facebook and Twitter. However, the Instagram is where we want to engage with the most, correct?
Yeah, it's probably where you can find the most sort of up-to-date stuff. Yeah. I was just thinking about what you said about countering the imagery that we get with institutionalization, and kind of a lot of the work I've been doing recently around abolition, and I think it's really important that we do consider that within the creativity, and the arts are such a powerful tool of envisaging something different, but also thinking about the way that we've kind of our expression has been suppressed. I think art is such a good way of countering that. Yeah, although gray has its place, you know.
absolutely. No, I did not mean to throw gray out into the woods, so I do love myself a gray palette here and there. Especially as a nice backdrop to the colors, the color pop. I love it.
Definitely.
Yeah, good. So, and then also you have an activist background pre Shell BX Studios, right? What is it about your own background and the work that you've done that led you up to this point?
Yeah. I get asked that a lot, actually. And I suppose I grew up, like I said, and surrounded by activists, and I lived in a communal house growing up. So there were two families that we all brought up together. Mm-hmm. And I guess going back to, wanting to start Shelby X Studios, I lost my dad at quite a young age, and he was a really big inspiration and shaped a lot of my political education. And it, wanting to do something that would kind of continue his legacy of community organizing. And I guess it's played a big role in terms of the people in my life that, like I said, have kind of shaped my political education and understanding. My parents lived in Philadelphia in the States in the 80s. Oh, okay. And they met the MOVE organization, who are a Black liberation group, kind of back to nature, and were being heavily persecuted by the police in Philadelphia. So I'd really urge people to kind of, look, move up and find out more about that, those issues. And a lot of the members still in prison today, and a huge kind of supporter of theirs, Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is also a political prisoner in the States. My parents were friends with people in the MOVE organization and got involved in supporting some of the solidarity work that was going on there. And when they returned to the UK, they were, linked up with other activists that were doing prison abolition work and interested in, freeing political prisoners, really, and sharing information about that. So I think kind of campaigning for Mumia and being involved with groups in London around that topic have been really influential. Like I said, a lot of my initial reading came from, reading books by people like George Jackson and Angela Davis. And, I think it's definitely a really common question because I'm white, and I think people often wonder how, where that kind of interest in Black history lies. And I guess it comes from doing that work quite early on. I think I got involved with that campaign when I was about 13 or 14. So I had the real privilege of working with some amazing comrades on that. And I think as I have gotten older, I've probably gotten more involved in housing campaigns. We're doing quite a lot of work at the moment in Southeast London. They're talking about creating boroughs of sanctuary for migrants and refugees, and we're working directly with migrants and refugees to kind of imagine what those spaces and communities look like, and how we can counter again the mainstream narrative that is very hostile, actually. So it's been quite varied, I suppose, but that's definitely played a huge role. My upbringing has played a huge role, and
That's fascinating as an experience, and how it involves your parents, and how influential parents can be, one way or another in our lives. Your parents, provided that example of advocacy at a very young age for you, and I think that's it's no wonder that you were reading and being influenced by Black liberation writers and, theorists and, people who really drove the narrative of Black liberation. And honestly, when I picked up, I started reading Huey P. Newton. I couldn't put it down, and there. So I get the allure to the movement and how it has always been. Yes, at the forefront of it is Black liberation. However, most Black liberation writers and philosophers and everything always tied the Black experience to the experience of classism and other races and ethnicities and cultures around the world as well. So in reality, Black liberation is the people's liberation, and I think that we're seeing, at least that's my viewpoint. And I think we're seeing that the connections right now with the Black Lives Matter movement in the US and how people are realizing, like, hey, this is happening to Black people. It's also happening to Latinx people. And it's right around the corner from happening to me, who, as a person of, lower class birth, these things are happening in my neighborhood. Am I, okay with this? And so I think a lot of people, no matter what their race or ethnicity or culture is, can relate to, the works of the people that you mentioned. So I think that's really cool that you put that out there, because how long has it been since those voices have been uplifted in the public,
Yeah, and they very much should be. And, we should be led by these incredible right. revolutionaries, really, that have been very dedicated to kind of serving and empowering and organizing the people. And I think a lot of this kind of narrative, and often how these people can be uplifted, often yeah. can kind of almost defang their political stance, and we don't talk enough around the fact right. that a lot of these revolutionary movements have been driven by trying to create socialist economies, and thinking about in order to liberate the people, we need to really think about what is oppressing them in the first place. And, I think we should be calling capitalism racial capitalism, because that's how it functions, and right. really being aware of, neo-colonialism and the way that yeah. imperialism operates, and how people have been oppressed and exploited, like you said, both at home, the working right. class, but also internationally, and how actually a lot of the lifestyles that we lead in wealthier countries is off the back of the exploitation of other people's labor. And theorists and revolutionaries like those yeah. that I mentioned have really been leading the way for a long time. So yeah. I think it's important that we uplift them and also follow the lead on Black and Indigenous movements. I was thinking about Pride a lot this yeah. Summer, I suppose, because we weren't able to celebrate it in the way that we usually do, but mm-hmm. Thinking about Marsha P. Johnson and how actually Black trans people have been really yeah. influential in shaping social change. Yeah,
that's another set of issues that come up in your artwork as well. And I feel like the ability for Shelby X Studios as a platform, and with the style and the aesthetic of your artwork, it really does lend itself to covering all types of issues, in its own kind of I mean, you, at this point, you can pretty much call it a world, right? Like every every one of your issues, the issues that you confront with your artwork, it all seems like it could relate. Honestly, like it could live in the same world. And I think that's something that's really cool. It's very signature of your style, that, you know, you could be talking about Black liberation here, you could be talking about ableism here, and yet it all lives in the same aesthetic world. And that's a fascinating thought, right? Because all of these issues do live in the same world, right?
I think definitely, yeah, I'm pleased that that comes across, because you know, people have asked that before, you know, what has drawn me to different campaigns. And I guess I do work across quite a lot of different issues, and I think that, you know, that it's important to draw the links between these different forms of oppression. And yeah, I think, you know, one of the aims was to almost create a space. I don't know if it's a whole world as such. It is in my in my head, but yeah, definitely a space for people that were feeling overwhelmed by what's happening. You know, it can feel quite isolating, I think, being politically active, especially with the extra restrictions of you know, COVID. And I've been really keen to try and create a space for people that are feeling like that, and that are really motivated to making social justice happen. And I think you're right that all of these kind of forms of oppression coexist, don't they? And the more that we can, connect and unite on our shared struggles, is going to be a way for people to move forward and to also acknowledge the root causes of why these forms of oppression happen in the first place.
Yeah. And again, it's Shelby X Studios on Instagram. The website is coming soon. It'll be shelbyxstudios.com, where you could find all the artwork examples that we're talking about. And then also you could sign up to get on the email list, right? And what does the email list get people access to?
Yeah, I love this. Thanks for the publicity.
You're welcome.
I always forget that part. the newsletter is going to be about sharing free resources, essentially, helping people to kind of get to grips with some of the different issues going on, spotlight some amazing artists using their work, you know, for social justice, to kind of uplift and amplify current political campaigns, and also to find out more about when the new membership will launch early next year. Yeah.
All right. Wonderful. And then it's the newsletter is the ArtX Activism newsletter. Is that the e-zine that you were talking about?
Yeah. So I guess it's a Shelby X Studios project. We're launching an art Times Activism zine, I'll be commissioning artivists essentially to create resources to help people engage with different topics, and I think using like visuals and graphics to help break that down, but also trying to think about how to make it as accessible as possible, so having sound in there and not other ways of people accessing that information.
Cool. Well, if you have full reign to be able to link to this podcast, there's artivists from last season that I know wouldn't mind their words being out there. And, you know, if you need sound, I have sound. So
definitely, that's always really important. And I think, your project and what you're doing is really necessary. And the more we can be talking about the role of art in activism and connecting with other people that are interested in it too, the better. So thank you for hosting this.
No worries. Thank you so much. And Shelby X Studios, go there to, if we go to the website right now, and I know the website isn't quite up, are we able to sign up for the email list and still, when it launches, get access to the materials?
Yeah, definitely, for sure. That's okay. Definitely available now. And you can kind of find it through the Instagram or Facebook, that kind of thing too. And I guess, yeah, I'm really open for people to contact me. And if you're an artist, an activist, and you want to get involved, then there's lots of opportunities for that. And I guess also just anybody interested in doing social and environmental justice work, because I really want to make sure that the platform's as accessible to people as possible. So yeah, anybody is welcome to get in touch.
Yeah, actually, that's actually cool that you brought that up, because, you know, there are people who are activists and not artivists, and that's okay. You know, there are people who want the information and aren't necessarily, you know, into the creative or aesthetic side of it, and that's awesome too, because those are the people who you know, have their feet on the ground of you know, fighting against all the different issues that we face. So we definitely always want to encourage people who are activists, no matter their art form or if they even have one, to participate and sign up and to, you know, to communicate these messages outward, to uplift these messages from Shelby X Studios. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, no worries. I think that's really important, actually, isn't it? Because these kind of terms that we use can carry a lot of weight, and I guess everybody has capacity to be creative, but also the capacity to be active too, and you know, in terms of political works. So I think it's about kind of opening those terms up a bit and making sure everybody feels welcome in this space, and that they've got something really important to contribute.
Oh, for sure. And I think it's definitely evident by the website and its design, and then all of your artwork as well, that this is an open community. This is an access-based community. And you do that so well, being able to communicate to different audiences and do it in a way that is inviting. And I think that's beneficial. And I think it's going to be successful in terms of your mission and vision for this project. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, thanks.
No worries. And I usually do a segment here at the end where the artists can speak, you know, directly to art students. And a lot of the times people who listen to the podcast are students of art, or my students, or, you know, students for life. Basically.
Love it.
Yeah, totally, right? Like, what is it that, you know, what is it that you could say to students about the role of activism in art in present times?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I think the two very much go hand in hand, and art can kind of uplift it, political messages, and help us connect with each other, and help people participate and engage in ways that otherwise they might not be able to. And I suppose, what would I say to art students is probably that I think all art is political, and it's just about the kind of message that we're feeding into. And to kind of really own our unique voices, and that, you know, our individuality is our superpower in a way. And it's about really, finding your voice and getting to grips with expressing yourself, and to know that that will evolve over time. Yeah. And collaborate, work with other people. And I think that's been a really important part of my creative practice. this and how I've gotten to where I am, because other people's knowledge and information and expertise kind of all feeds into into the work that I'm doing. So yeah.
Okay, well, wonderful. And and as a reminder, people, if you can go to shelbyxstudios.com is the website. It'll be launching soon, but you could kind of see a preview of it. ShelbyXstudios on Instagram, as well as Facebook and Twitter. Go ahead, follow ShelbyXstudios. Make sure you're getting signed up to that email list as well on the website. And the e-zine, let's talk about that briefly, if you don't mind. What are some highlights? What are some things we can expect from that? I know we had just talked about it being interactive. Is there anything like really specific that you want to kind of tease about that?
Yeah, sure. So the first edition is really going to delve into art and activism and how those kind of two worlds collide. There's some really exciting stuff coming up, which I can't wait to share with everybody, really. And the kind of like most exciting part is being able to work with all these incredible artists that have are really driving political movements. And the second edition, like I said, we're going to kind of explore the digital world and the physical world, and there's lots of exciting stuff to come for that. Some of the other issues we're going to be addressing is unpaid labor, which happens a lot with artists. You know, the arts are so massively undervalued, and similarly with community work. We're going to talk about sex work and try and amplify a lot of the amazing artists that are doing work in those fields. You can kind of expect lots of artist features, but then also artists taking over the reins a bit and sharing infographics and visual notes and uplifting artwork. And there'll be lots of kind of exclusive merchandise that will run alongside that. And I think another huge thing that people have said that they want from ShelbyXstudios is this community aspect. So there'll definitely be an opportunity for you to join the community of artists and activists. Lots of exciting stuff coming up.
That's very exciting. I love every part of that. It's such a commitment to the lifestyle of an artist, and obviously uplifting that lifestyle and getting people connected is a great vision to have, because oftentimes people who are creatives, a lot of times operate in the solitude of their own space, and having a platform to be able to connect with those who are doing similar work is, there's a healing aspect there as well, which I think it comes across in all of the, it seems like it's kind of a core virtue of yours to be able to utilize your platform and your artwork to heal in different ways. And I think that's it's revolutionary, to keep that in mind as we're communicating such painful messages. But you said it before with considering activists and their emotions and the depression and the burnout, and then also now with connecting artists who need to be uplifted and connected in this moment. I think that's a great virtue that you have going for you, and obviously it sounds like it was rooted in your upbringing, with the way that you were raised by your parents. So I commend to them and you.
Yeah, I think it's such an important aspect of what, I think I really want this project to be, really, and to embody. And, resting is is part of the resistance, really, and that, how can we sustain this work without sustaining ourselves? And the community aspect is huge for that, because that's where we get our strength, I think, from our communities and the people that we surround ourselves with, and having this kind of collective approach to well-being, I think is really important around community care. And that's going to be something embedded to the e-zine. Actually, there'll be a lot of resources on checking in with yourself. And I think it links again around liberation, doesn't it? Because the kind of capitalist structures, I think don't necessarily allow us to rest. And we think about our kind of value based on our productivity. So it's about countering that narrative. Exploring the history of colonialism within that framework as well, because that's a very real reality. Definitely going to be a key part of what we'll be doing.
Wonderful. So, and, you know, thank you for all of your time and, opening up Shelby X Studios and the core vision to us here at Artivism Now. And I appreciate you carving time out of your evening, as it is in London right now, and spending some time with us and uplifting a lot of people who will be listening to this episode. So thank you very much, Grace. I appreciate it.
Well, likewise, I really appreciate the time and space to have these conversations. And thank you for sharing more about the work that we've got going on. Yeah, it's been a real pleasure.
All right. Well, you take care, and I will talk to you again hopefully soon. All right.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Special thanks to Grace Kress from Shelby X Studios for joining us all the way from the UK on Artivism Now. And remember, artists out there, keep it lit. Let it flow. Let it mean something. And goodbye.